This week, Jeffrey Pierce is a free man after spending 15 years in prison in Oklahoma for a rape he did not commit. DNA testing finally proved that the trial testimony of an Oklahoma chemist was false. That chemist, Joyce Gilchrist, testified that she had matched samples from the crime scene to Mr. Pierce. Now hundreds of cases in which she testified are under review. As NPR's Eric Westervelt reports, Ms. Gilchrist is not the only scientist and hers not the only crime lab being scrutinized.
Many defense attorneys contend that Joyce Gilchrist is not an isolated case. They point to police forensic labs in Illinois, West Virginia, Texas, and Florida, where innocent people have been falsely imprisoned because of shoddy lab work and lax oversight.
There certainly is a pattern nationwide of false, fraudulent, exaggerated, overstated forensic science coming from police crime labs.
George Castell is chief public defender in Charleston, West Virginia. For more than a decade, State Trooper Fred Zane was in charge of serology at the state's crime lab. And for more than a decade, it's alleged that Zane faked data, concocted results, and testified using phony blood evidence in hundreds of felony trials. Castell says Zane's work often went beyond sloppiness into perjury.
There were sometimes the test results showed innocence, that is, excluded the suspect, and in some of those instances, we found the results actually X'd out by Fred Zane and the opposite result inserted. And, of course, that's, you know, just as disturbing as anything that we've ever encountered.
Castell believes that had West Virginia offered the death penalty during Zane's reign of error, the state could have easily put an innocent man to death. Former Sergeant Fred Zane became a prosecution witness in 12 states. He goes on trial for fraud in September. It might be easy to dismiss Zane as just one out-of-control lab worker, but in Chicago, a police crime lab analyst named Pamela Fish disregarded exculpatory blood testing in a 1992 rape trial. Her testimony helped send John Willis to prison for 7 years for a rape he did not commit. Now, serious questions have been raised about the guilt of four Chicago men convicted of murder, partly on lab work done by Fish. And in Florida, the work of former FBI lab examiner Michael Malone has come under close scrutiny. Tampa attorney Terry Backus represents death row inmate Brett Bogle, convicted in part, she contends, by Malone's bogus hair and fiber testing.
There are several cases pending in the state of Florida calling into question Mr. Malone's testimony as to whether or not it had been exaggerated and whether or not it was even scientifically conducted.
At trial, Malone testified that a pubic hair from Bogle was found on the victim. In fact, it was a head hair, a key distinction in a rape-murder trial in which the defendant knew the victim. And there were other problems as well. None of this was told to the jury. Backus is now working to get her death row client a new trial because of the power scientific evidence has with a jury.
It's so dangerous when you have someone who will either, you know, exaggerate the results or try to make them fit what the prosecution wants them to.
Even though a Justice Department inspector rebuked Malone for sloppy work, the cases in which he testified have yet to be fully re-examined. So just why did the unsound and at times perjurious crime lab work go on for so long?
It's because they're getting convictions and nobody wants to upset the convictions.
Barry Scheck co-directs the Pro Bono Innocence Project at New York's Cardozo School of Law. Scheck says too often prosecutors have relied on what he calls the junk science of hair analysis and other dubious lab work. Scheck charges that crime labs have become so institutionally intertwined with the prosecutor culture that they're now immune to the normal quality controls of most medical or research labs.
We don't have any good quality assurance in these laboratories. There's not an independent third force that, you know, makes crime labs something other than law enforcement people in lab coats. I mean, it's too important to have, you know, forensic scientists, you know, really under the heel of any one side in our system. They have to be independent.
But many prosecutors say these recent cases are merely the bad work of a few lazy or corrupt workers, which hardly warrant an overhaul of America's forensic labs. Rockford, Illinois, state's attorney Paul Logley is on the board of the National Association of District Attorneys. The defense bar should look at itself first, he says, because there are enough checks and balances built into the system to protect against shoddy lab work.
The type of testing done, the methodology that's being done, the results of the testing done, that's all revealed to the defense prior to trial. The testimony of the lab technician is presented at trial in front of a judge and jury subject to cross-examination. Prior to trial, the defense has the right to have the materials tested at their expense and in their private labs. If it's happening, the defense is watching it happen.
Still, with more felony cases coming under review because of mediocre or potentially fraudulent forensic work, the cry for greater crime lab accountability is likely to grow louder. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.